I'm basically, I guess, I'm talking about truth today. Truth. And where this starts for me, I like it when God does this, when it's like it starts in a very kind of unexpected place, even if it is scripture. But it starts for me in Isaiah. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, where it says, "Come," it says, "though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And then it goes on a little bit, but I want to read the two verses. That's in verse 18, Isaiah 1. I'm going to read a couple verses here, from 16 through 18. I can't remember. I know that, like, you know, it's the, you know, Isaiah the prophet, and is God speaking through him to the Israelites, and there's some serious issues of sin going on, and I don't know exactly. I can't remember that what is happening, but I'm going to read it. So I'm not really talking about Isaiah. There's something that I think we get to pull out of it. It says, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." And then there's this invitation from the Lord. I love it. He says, "Come now, let us settle the matter." And so, like, there's a couple of ways you can read that. It's God saying, "Come now," and he said, "Let us come reason with me." I love that. "Come reason with me," God says. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." And then he talks about obedience, right? And it goes on, and Isaiah is this huge, huge book in the Bible, and it's beautiful because there are so many prophecies towards Jesus in Isaiah. You know, like the one that says, like, you know, it talks about the crucifixion and how he's going to be marred beyond likeness, beyond recognition, and also that when the Messiah comes, he won't have some handsomeness about him that, like, the people will be attracted to him because he's a handsome, ruddy fella or something. So there's a lot in Isaiah that points to Jesus. But between 16 and 18, I just want to speak about that. And what I was hearing from God in this was there's an invitation that we have responsibility, like where he says, "Wash and make yourselves clean." But in the end, the way that we are clean is going to God to have that conversation with him where he says, "Come reason with me. Come reason with me." He said, "Though your sins be like scar," basically, "though your hands are covered in blood, I will wash you." And I've always just loved that. There's something beautiful in the promise, like no matter where we've come from, no matter what we've been a part of, there's this like beautiful, like, grand forgiveness that gets displayed even in the Old Testament, you know, not just the Gospels. Jesus reveals it in a really like raw and like Emmanuel, like God is with us way. But the reason I'm talking about truth, and I'm gonna go back, I'm gonna read a couple other passages, but Josh shared on, he read through John 14 last week, and there's a part in that, and that's the chapter where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And, the truth there, God was pointing at Isaiah about, like, That is a revelation of truth. We do something to the word truth, where we really we jack it up, basically. And I think this is something I'm going to share with you my processing, and what I'm able to like pull out of like these passages. In John 14, where he says, "I'm the truth," I look in the Greek, and the Greek is the word is aletheia, and which can be translated reality. So Jesus is saying, "I am reality." And you break that down in the Greek, the reality is it's the opposite of an illusion. And oftentimes we don't even realize that we're kind of living in an illusion. I was thinking about how, you know, most of us, we post these pictures on Instagram or Facebook for that matter, but Instagram, I still do Instagram, and you pull a picture up, and then like there's all these filters that you can apply to the picture. And by the end of it, when you post it, it doesn't actually look like the original picture that you took. I want to make it like it's a 1970s photo, and then I want to add tints of red and like add like this, that, and the other, and who knows, you know. By the end of it, you posted something that is not the actual image, not accurately. I think that when Jesus invites us, and his whole life is an invitation, right? His whole life is an invitation into a relationship. And so when he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," basically he's saying, come know reality. Come know me, and when you come to know me, you get to know reality. Mm-hmm. And what he wants to do is he wants to like show us reality. He wants to eliminate some of like the filters that we placed on our lives, the things that have allowed us, disallow us to see things for how they are, the way God sees them. And so I want to go back to Isaiah, because God's reality is not just merely factual. If that were the case, then when Jesus shows up on a scene, like he shows up at the tomb of Lazarus, and Martha and Mary are crying, the town is mourning, he's been dead 3 days, and Jesus shows up, and if facts were reality in the kingdom of heaven, right, we're speaking something that is deeper, powerful, more powerful than just factual information. If facts were reality, then what could Jesus do for Lazarus? Because when Jesus showed up on the scene, the fact was, is Lazarus was buried and dead. But Martha runs to him and says to Jesus, "If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." So she recognizes power and authority in Jesus to be able to change the reality that people see, right? She knew that, like, even if the fact was Lazarus was only sick, then he could heal him. That is changing the facts that we see. God's reality is better than just fact. But she was still blinded to the fact, right, to the reality, the facts and the reality of heaven, that Jesus could raise him from the dead. And he says, "Do you believe, you know, in the resurrection?" And she says, "Absolutely." He says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." So she believes in resurrection, but has she seen it? It's hard for her to wrap her mind around. And that day, that town got to witness something that was very, very powerful, something that we could witness today. Jesus is not done doing miracles. He's called us to do things even greater than he has done. So miracles are still happening, but we have to allow God to take the filters off that are disallowing us from being able to see reality as he sees it. So going back to Isaiah, the reason this starts there with me is because there is we show up like in some ways like our nation has blood on its hands right now. And I, this is not a political conversation, but the reality is that we are finding out the more we learn. I just started to read a book Josh read already. Can be a challenging book, and there's things that we need to learn about our history, the ways that our society is run here. We have this idea that everything is so perfect, but there's a lot of people that don't get some of the good things that we get. And you know, I'm not plugging a book here, but if you want to get challenged, white fragility. Why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism. It's not trying to make an argument, but it's actually trying to reveal the fact that, like, it's hard for us to see something sometimes. In Isaiah, like, God's people were a part of oppression, taking advantage of the fatherless and the widows, and those that had less of a voice, if not any voice. And he's calling them to better. He's basically defining like true religion, to take up the cause of the widows and the orphans and those that are oppressed. And then he invites people. He's like, your hands are covered in blood. Come step into my reality where you are washed and clean. And it's like, it happens in a moment when we step into the forgiveness of God, but we've got to do it with a spirit of humility and be able to learn and grow, or else we can just step right back into the same old actions. We can get forgiven and then just keep living the same. So there's supposed to be change and transformation. Anyways, you can read a lot of in there in Isaiah. It's a really beautiful book. But God's reality, the truth is that all you have to do is step into his reality, and what was filthy is now clean. That's the whole righteousness of Jesus. I'm seeing like a lot of like, you know, most of us kind of follow Instagram and Facebook and stuff, and there's so much information being passed around. It's like overwhelming. God's reality is bigger than a lot of the facts. Facts are important. I'm not trying to disregard facts, because oftentimes that helps us to learn where we're starting. Fact, people are trafficked in the U.S. Fact, human trafficking exists. Fact, there is child pornography, and it is probably a bigger problem than most of us know or willing to accept. Fact. The kingdom of heaven, God's reality, the truth is, God wants us not yet bogged down with facts, but he will step in to his reality and call things into light, even if they're dead. And so we get to be a part of a bigger story than just facts. And that being said, like, I think sometimes we need to learn the facts. In fact, I think that's really important. But if we stop on fact, then we don't get to be a part of transformation and the kingdom of heaven coming to earth even more, right? I was looking in John 14, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I love that. Like, who here would name their daughter Alethea? I mean, does anybody else think that's like a beautiful name, Alethea? Like, there's something like, I never even thought about that, but like, there are things in the Bible that are personified In fact, Jesus calls himself the truth. If when we go into relationship with Jesus, we're walking on the road to life. We are living and growing in truth when we're in relationship with Jesus. That is what happens. If we're in connection with him, spending time with him, the way, the truth, and the life happens to us. But I just love it, like, truth, aletheia. That's like, I feel like maybe like 2020, that might be, you know, 2020, 2021, that might be like one of the top names for people, you know, when you do name searches. We're in an era where we can exchange information so quickly that if we're not connecting with God and aligning truth in our heart because we're in his presence and we're listening to him, we will absolutely just get depressed with information. I don't know anybody that can like assimilate or process all the information that's getting passed around. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I just have to shut my Instagram off. A lot of it's not fact, because it's depressing. And if I don't spend time with the Lord, then I don't get to be a part of the truth, part of this. In fact, I'm in a world that is so noisy. Hey, David, can you mute your phone? I think all we're doing is kind of watching you walk around, and it's kind of making me dizzy. Can you hear me? Is there a way you can mute it? I don't know. You are okay. I don't know what's going on. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's nice to see you. Does anybody register with like way overload information? Way overload. The irony is that the world is so noisy. It's so noisy, and it can be a bunch of things that are like real and a bunch of things that are facts. Definitely some of it's not fact. But it's so noisy, and God is like, just come be quiet. Just come be quiet. Just spend time with me. It's like one of the hardest things for me to do. And every time, and I'll tell you what, like the habit of like spending time and being quiet with the Lord, every time I leave with life, every time I leave with my heart at peace, more at peace. And sometimes like the one thing the Lord says to me in the 20 minutes or whatever, I'm quiet with him. The one thing he says holds way more weight than all the posts I liked in the last 2 hours before that, right? The one thing that God would say to me, and oftentimes it's like something like, hey, can you hear that dove in the trees cooing? And that's all I get to see. That's all I hear from him. Other than that, like I get to hear, listen to my heartbeat and the wind through the trees and like this simplified like peace, this calm. And then when we go back into the world, right, we're always in the world, but when we like step back into like all the noises get turned back on, when we spend time with God, sometimes a lot of that just doesn't matter as much. Anyways, is this registering with anybody? Zoom is so weird to me that I just watch faces and like, okay, you know, and better connected this way, but still there's some disconnection. In Romans, Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read that, and I already mentioned it, but I'm going to read it. Know that every time we get together, what we're doing is building faith. It's like I mean, we're doing other things, right? There's other things we're doing together, but every time we get together, that we would create space to let the author and perfecter of our faith grow us. Faith comes by hearing the word, you know? So, like, even when we talk about it, like, for us to read it, I'm a huge fan of the Bible. That being said, if we don't spend time with the Lord listening to him and all we do is read the Bible, I have friends that are atheists. I have friends that hate God and read the Bible from front to back. Reading the Bible doesn't do anything unless you're listening. Like, I don't know who's listening, right? But, like, the intention of showing up, reading the Bible, and then spending time just, like, with him, you know? Sometimes it's not about reading the whole Bible, but pick a verse and read it over and over again and ask God, reveal what you want to reveal through this. Like, step into a place of, like, listening to what's deep. Romans 1, chapter 1, oh, chapter 4, and verse 17, Paul's talking about faith, and he's talking about Abraham, who's the father of faith, right? Let me find it here. Wait a sec. 4:17. I'm in the wrong place. What do I do? Okay, a little further. It is 17. Okay. I mean, read Abraham's story. His story is an absolute story of faith. And it says he's be the father of faith because through his seed and through his line, Jesus comes out. I'm trying to pick where I'm going to start. It says, that's what the scripture means when it says, I had made you the father of many nations, talking about Abraham. He says, he is our example and father for in God's presence. He believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet. Other versions say, gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not yet. It's like stepping back, like truth. Truth is powerful. Facts just are. Truth is God speaking to us and saying, do you see that person over there that is sick and lonely? I'm going to give him life. I'm asking you to go pray for him. I'm asking you to go and basically preach the kingdom of heaven, right? Preach, right? Speak the truth over somebody's life. God speaks to all of us, and if we're listening, he's going to lead us into people's lives to be able to speak the truth and give life. I might have some more things to share, but I want to open up. What are you guys thinking? What are you experiencing? What are your thoughts? That was where I was at. I have a couple of little things I'd like to touch on, but I want to hear what you guys are seeing.
Sorry about the confusion earlier. I was going upstairs to get a soda.
Don't worry about it, David. It's sometimes Zoom is tricky, and I know you're kind of getting used to it. Don't worry about it. What are you guys thinking?
I think one of the things that's sticking out to me, like with Abraham specifically, is that When God told him that, I have made you the father of many nations, you know, he was changing his name from Abram to Abraham, but he had no children. So he was going to be the father of many nations, but the fact was he was childless, right, when that was declared over him. So the fact, his reality was he was childless. God's reality and kingdom, which spans outside of our time as well, and that God understands the whole big picture, was that he was going to be a father of many nations. So I think that's kind of, you know, what you're talking about. Like, what we see isn't the whole picture. What we what we're aware of, like with Lazarus being dead, that's their experience. That's what they see, but that's not the full reality because of what God is capable of. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah. Yeah, I just say with God, all things are possible for those who believe. I think what we need, like, I mean, you know, it's like not to harp. And some Sundays it might be nice to talk about, like, not talk about anything that's happening in the world right now. Maybe, you know, but what is happening right now? I think, like, the reality is, like, what were you, Jake, when I got on, you mentioned something about, like, some of the best things have come out, right? Like, in a sense, like, it's fertile soil right now for us to actually see the kingdom of heaven alive in our lives. And why? Because, like, read the Gospels. Who got healed in the Gospels? The desperate and those that needed it. The woman that had sought care for how many years because she wouldn't stop bleeding. She'd sought doctor's help, wouldn't stop bleeding. Like, her desperation was she'd dig through a crowd and basically, like, risk life and limb because in her condition, she could have been stoned because she was unclean entering into a crowd, touching a bunch of Jewish men. Desperation leads us into a place sometimes we need God. And if we don't need God, we have no reason to believe that he has something good for us.
Yeah, I agree. What I've noticed is with everything going on in the world, it seems like it's like an exposure of, like, how fertile the soil is. And at least for me, like, with the group of people that I hang out with in my town, We had a discussion of, like, how fresh the soil is, and it's like the Spirit is, like, calling us to, like, plant seeds and sow seeds to cultivate, I almost want to say revival of the Spirit within community groups and mm-hmm. within people because of everything that's going on, because, like, the desperationness and the brokenness and depression, because, like, I don't want to say false reality of just, like, everything was all sunshine and rainbows before everything started happening, but I feel like a lot of that, like, those masks that we were seeing are, like, they're coming off and they're breaking off of people, and we're being exposed to, like, harsher realities.
Mm.
And I think the Spirit is, like, saying, like, I'm preparing soil for things to be sown.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Beth. That said, is like anything that can be shaken absolutely will in this time, you know, and I think this is an opportunity for us to plant those seeds, right? Where a harvest will be coming.
Yeah.
I feel like a harvest will be coming, and it'll all depend on those in the kingdom, on what we have planted is what we're going to be reaping.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think, as you're talking, praying for somebody that doesn't get healed is planting seeds. It's hard for us because, like, we have this fear. We don't want to disappoint God. We don't want to show them God. We don't want to step out to show them who God is and then fail them in that moment. And there's a fear that holds us back, from stepping out and taking risk. And the reality is like, it's like hearing a voice, hearing God's voice takes practice. And if we're not asking, God, spend time with him, by the way, spend time with him, find those pockets of time, fight for it, sacrifice a meal to listen to God, sit down with him hungry and let your spirit awaken. We have time. We can find time. And you know what? If we're really, really, really busy, 5 minutes is like a treasure. So like give that treasure of 5 minutes to God. Sit down with him. Like don't have this idea that like if I can't sit quiet for an hour, then it's not worth it. Sit down and give him and like allow that hunger to grow, because when we're hungry for something, we'll fight for it. And if we sit down and give him the 5, then the next week we're just hungry and we want more, we'll give him the 10. You know, before we know it, we're living our life. Our life is a prayer. I believe we're called to step out and take risks. And we're going to be able to share stories that, like, I prayed for this guy and, like, he got healed. I also prayed for this guy and he didn't get healed. And then he weeped because somebody took a risk with him alone in the park. The love we give Joe for people when we take risks on them. Right now, people need us to take risks for their sake. So I just think in that, Jake, it's good. Fertile soil, you know, planting seeds. And like you said, like the harvest, what to be a harvest is going to be harvested. And it's going to be the seeds that get planted. And those seeds can look a lot like a lot of different things. And so, like, just listening looking for those opportunities. How can I plant seeds of truth in people's life, seeds of life in people's life? I'm going to push that seed down in the dirt a couple inches. And I'm going to push some dirt over the top of it. What else, you guys?
I know you've been talking about time. I remember when we were meeting at the church, and I got a poem about time. How people don't think they have time, that if you're on the tracks and you're going somewhere, 98% of the time, the tracks are late because of accidents. Great time to close your eyes and pray. During your coffee break, sure, you can still be drinking coffee at work, but why not just talk to God? You don't have to move your voices. I mean, there's so many different times. When you're in the grocery, I mean, I talk to God when I'm doing my grocery shopping. Sometimes it sounds funny, but even just, God, I need help. I need help doing this. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. Recently, I talked with your brother, and I think I mentioned you that I'm looking for a new place. It's just been crazy because of the pandemic. Nobody wants to, you really can't go anywhere unless it's by appointment. So, but I'm having faith in God that within the next 6 months, I'll be in a new place. And like you've been talking about, there's so many people. When you guys remember me when I first came into the church, how hungry I was. Mm-hmm. People are starving. They're afraid of what's going on. I'm out in it every day talking to people about where they don't know. Some of them don't know where their next meal is coming from. Some of them don't know how they're going to pay rent now that all these government things are closed or closing. And it's like, that's where I come in, because I can pray for them, but I, with my experience, I also know because I've been there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even putting your personal experience into it, I mean, Josh, your brother is an excellent teacher. Some people might need education. He may know something educational. So it's not only the spiritual things. People are needing the physical things too. And if they see the physical things are being done, maybe the spiritual things will come in following that or before that, because they know that they're still loved, that they're still wanted, that God's got a reason for whatever is going on.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so true, David.
Yeah, well, while you were talking, Josh, I popped up in Strong's Bible Concordance, you know, for this nice recap. And I was looking at what does the word hope mean in that verse where it talks about, like, Abraham hoped beyond hope. And it means, in the literal Hebrew, to anticipate usually with pleasure. And, like, no one wanted this pandemic, or no one wanted this social discussion necessarily. And it's caused a lot of fear. But then we can look at other scripture, you know, like, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. So even in this time where we're being challenged and searching for truth, we have truth, and that truth is in love. Mm-hmm. And then we can go over to, you know, 1 John, where it talks about there's no fear in love. And because the world is so fertile, they're looking for something to make them not fearful. We have the truth and the power of love, and we can wait with pleasure and hope beyond our hope that God's doing something. You know, like, we started to see it here in Salt Lake, like, over the last few years, like, God's doing something. I mean, I've only lived here for a year, but it's like, already we're seeing the face of the city change because that fear is being pushed out and being replaced with love. And, like, we're seeing people who wouldn't normally have discussions about, you know, massive social issues have them. Like, I had my first talk with my dad about what it's like to be a minority in the U.S. last week. And, I mean, I've known him 25 years since I was born, you know, and it's like, we were able to have our first honest discussion about, like, how can we love those people when they're being so underserved by culture? And how can we put our faith in love instead of just focusing on the uncertainty of the future? You know, like, Abraham didn't focus on, like, well, when I get there, where am I going to plant? And even when he did get there, he didn't get the nice soil. He got the bad soil, and God made him prosper. Because it's that Joseph thing of, like, what the enemy intends for evil, God's going to use for good. We just have to find where we can hope beyond hope for love in our everyday action. And, you know, I think it's an utter challenge on every level of looking constantly for hope and love in every situation where it's like we're seeing people get murdered, or we're seeing, you know, people starve, and we're seeing children be trafficked into horrible things. Where's the love and hope in that? But we can find it, because God's everywhere. You know, he's omnipresent. He's, you know, he's all powerful. He's all these things. And if he is who we believe he is, why don't we embrace the truth and the hope that's in his love and actually try to walk in it instead of just acknowledge, like, oh, he's there and it's on Sunday, but then make it a reality in our life instead of just acknowledging.
That's good, Dan. That's way good.
Super good, Dan.
I feel like I'm going to need to listen back through this one, I think. I'm, like, taking notes, and then I'm like, I'm just going to listen back to it later. What else you guys got? I feel like what you guys have to have, I just kind of get the ball rolling, you know what I'm saying? So,
you were talking about Facebook and work earlier, and a friend sent me a video from a girl, I forget where it was, but this girl had leprosy and something else. And she just believed in God. She's like, you know what? Nobody can cure me but God. And this video brought me to tears, because it's like I've never seen that much faith in anybody in my life. And her last doctor's appointment, they could find no traces of leprosy. They could find no traces of any medical things. And what they showed this girl from before and like what she is now, she's actually a student in some college somewhere. But the whole video was like what God's been doing in her life. And wherever she was, they haven't had rain in so long, kind of like Utah right now. And she just laid out and prayed for rain. And the video just showed, it almost looked like it was just raining on her, like God was raining his love on her. I mean, it was thunder and lightning, but the whole video was just like, I need this from God. And sometimes I wonder, even in my own life, when I'm that dry, is that what I need to do? Do I need to just say, God, rain on me? Because I get that way. I think we all do sometimes. No matter how, whatever, there's times in our lives where everybody just needs God. So I'm just wondering with that rain, the whole spiritual rain thing, with everything going on, if that isn't what people need too.
That's good, David. That's a good analogy. I mean, it's more than an analogy, but, you know, that's awesome.
You went out. You're no longer on the picture.
Oh, shit. I'll fix it. I get it.
Okay.
Dan, will you say again what from that verse when Abraham was saying, like, in hope he believed against hope, like what you found, what that meant?
Yeah, just give me a second to pop Strong's back in. It's a slow-moving app, given that every single word is translated from Greek or Hebrew.
Right.
It's Elpis, E-L-P-I-S, in Hebrew. And the primary word means to anticipate, usually with pleasure.
Cool. I like that. Anticipating with pleasure, you know, what God is, because he is moving. And that's the thing, like, I mean, we look at everything, and like Aaron's saying, like, the facts are, like, there's a virus that's going around. The facts are, like, there's a division happening in our, you know, in our nation, in our world. I mean, it's always been there, but like it's being exposed, right? Like Jake, like you were saying, like massive, like people are being exposed for what they are. Like we're seeing people at their best in this, and we're seeing people at their worst. Not because like it's made them who they are right now. It's just exposing that. Like when you're in a pressure cooker, what's really there is revealed, and so we're seeing things that we're being, I think, surprised by it, but it's like, it's already been there. Our nation's been dealing with this for hundreds of years, you know, like with racism and stuff. But I think that thing of like having pleasure in the hope that God is moving and some of this exposing that's taking place, I think that's, we can put our faith in the reality that God is shaking things. Like you were saying, Jake, like things are being shaken up so that when things are, that people have been holding on to so tightly are starting to crumble. God's like, now let me put the pieces back together. You know, let me put you in a family that can help and love you to become whole. Because, yeah, this is inside of you. And we've all done, you know, hard work to get, you know, out of things as well in our lives. But I think realizing that, like, God is moving. And the reality is, like, our facts that we see is, yeah, virus is moving and, like, there's racism, there's division. But the reality is, God is moving and he is calling people to himself. And he is raising up people who are full of love, who are seeing, even if it feels small sometimes, are seeing the littlest ways to be able to step out and love people. You know, you just see these, I follow something called Upworthy, and there's other like things that I follow on like Instagram or Facebook, and just these positive stories that are there because we don't see that. But people in the midst of some of this stuff, the creative ways that they are just being kind, showing kindness. There's this little girl who is doing this tic-tac-toe with the mailman, and her mom had no idea. She the little girl always went out to like see like what was happening in the mailbox, and she was playing tic-tac-toe with the mailman, and she'd been doing it for days, and her mom realized like she was doing that. You know, just like little things like that that like show value, that show being seen. And after like reading that, I was like, you know, I have never ever said thank you to my mailman. You know, like I never have. So like, and I'm being honest, like after seeing that, I'm like, wow. And so I got a thank you card, and I had a little gift card sitting around, and so I just put it, it's on my mailbox right now for him to pick up, just saying like, hey, I see what you do. You know, like thank you for bringing my mail. Like it's a thankless job. It's like, I've never thought to do that. It took a little child, you know, to kind of think about like, here's a little tic-tac-toe. But if we're opening up our eyes to see things, God is moving. He wants to show love. And I think like you were saying, Dan, that where is, should our faith be? Our faith is in love. You know, the person of love, God is love, right? And the action of love, which flows from our connection with him. That's where our faith is, not in the virus, in the response to it, in our nation to figure everything out, in our world to have perfect peace, in politicians to be perfect in the way that they govern things. Like, that's not where our faith is. But our faith is in love, and love does matter. And there are beautiful stories of people who are impacting other people's lives through small choices that they're making. The facts are heavy right now, but the reality is love is still flowing. Anyway.
Right. I definitely agree with that too. And like, even in the midst of like all this chaos and negativity, I do see a lot of people taking, what I would like to say is Jesus' call to action to love, whether they're believers or not. And just treating people with absolute kindness and love beyond measure, you know, and, in the shop, we see that a lot. We see that a lot with people. You know, and I think it's like that little girl and like what you did with the mailman. I think it is planting those seeds, and it's giving those like really strong, deep rooted, roots that although we can't see them, right? Because we don't know what plant's going to be planted out of it, but with every plant, the roots always run deeper than what we can see, right? Especially at first. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, especially, I think there's a call to action to love, and we're seeing a lot of that, right? Whether a lot of the people's intentions are to absolutely love, and I have been seeing a lot of that. And I think that's a lot of what God's intentions too, with everything going on too, for us as like believers in the kingdom, is to take up this call of action to love more than we have, and to kind of step up our game to feed the hungry, to pray for people on the streets, to radically change lives in very small ways. You know, because you never know. Like, the smallest action could turn someone's life around 100%. You never know that. You know, and I think it's true. Like, if you plant even a mustard seed of faith in someone, it grows into a plant that can feed a generation. To feed generations. You definitely see that. And I think we're going to see a radical change of, like, how people treat each other. Mm. Especially with the exposure.
Yeah. Super good.
That's awesome, Jake. I'm thinking about this in John, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I like, he says, "the way, the truth, the life." And in other words, he's saying, ultimately, he is life. He is truth. And he is the way, right? But I think in the ways that we talk, even, like, I just encourage, like, the declaration of, like, you are my way. You are my truth. You are my life. Like, own it, you know? Because we can recognize the truth. But is he our truth? Because there's a lot of people that are saying, like, this is my truth, right? They say my truth. And, like, a lot of that really comes out of, like, pain, you know, that they've learned the world is a certain way, and this is their truth, which may be a lot of facts, but that does not mean it is the truth. And, like, to line up the two, I think there's ways in our heart that, like, he's not, maybe sometimes he's not my life. Maybe sometimes he's not my truth. Maybe my truth needs to be realigned with his truth, so that when I say my truth, I'm saying Jesus is my truth. I just want to encourage you, read that and own it as your own. Own him. He's yours, you know? He came for us. He came for you. He came for all of us. And there's something so personal about God, also, like, so corporate, like, for lack of better words, like one body, one spirit, one baptism. Like, we're all one. We are an extension of each other. We all are an extension of God. And so, yeah. I do want to, before, I know we got some more time, but I want to spend a little time together in prayer. But I also want to give opportunity for anybody else that hasn't shared yet to speak up, Mom, you know, or like Eugene or Tabitha. Like, you don't have to, but like, there's space here for everybody to contribute and be a part, because this is all life we're talking.
I do have something. Just give me like 1 second, okay?
Cool. Nice picture.
I just want to say, can I say something real quick?
Go for it, dude.
So I just want to kind of add to what Aaron was saying, is like, the truth is the person that we're talking about is God, that can actually change our lives and heal and bring hope and life, versus the facts that are kind of depressing with everything going on right now. I mean, I have friends who have trackers, how many people die and all this stuff. Just, she gets so depressed when she comes to visit us. She has to talk about it for 30 minutes just to let it out, mm-hmm. all the negative stuff. And you know, having the truth and the life in us, that light just shines brighter in the darkness. And so I just want to encourage you guys what Aaron was saying as well.
Hello, I made it. So I had a couple thoughts. Normally when I come to like REV meetings, I always try to find something that's going to like relate to my life every day and what's going to kind of be like my weekly reminder. And it sounds like my weekly reminder, just from even waking up this morning to an Instagram post about my best friend who moved in with me in Florida, and about how she thought that was like one of her biggest blessings. Like, she had tons of plans and nothing went to plan, and it was awesome. So I think that's going to be like this theme for the week, is like, God has plans and I'm not going to know about them, but if I steadfast in them, they'll be revealed. But outside of that, as you guys were all talking, I was thinking about like how I was like wondering in my head, I was wondering, what was it like in the Great Depression when they were having church meetings and talks? Like, what was going on with them? Like, what were they saying? What were their words? Were they reveling together and uproar? Was there uproar in their hearts? Were they wishing for something better and like, nah, God's going to take care of this? Or were they steadfast and steady and wondering when it was going to end or what was going to happen? What were they able to do? And I was thinking about how cool it is that we have the technology we have today to be able to communicate such positive things, or to be able to talk about such positive things. It hurts my heart so much. I'm on Instagram sometimes. I don't have any friends on Facebook because I only use it for the news. I do not want to see the toxicity that people put out. I do not care for it. It hurts me. It hurts my life. It hurts my morals. I don't want it. So I'll go on Instagram, and then when it gets really toxic, I'll like drop off and I don't want to be there. But I'm starting to push forward and recognize like how powerful of a tool social media really is. Like Tommy doing his talks every week. My best friend from when she came and lived with me in Florida, she does talks every week about things that are important, and she's spreading the light. And I think that's so important, is that we have a platform. We should be able to spread the light. when there's no positivity in the world and there's nothing good and we can't reach what is going on and the facts are hard and we don't enjoy it, we have the gift and the power to spread God's light and spread his word. And I think it's important that we take that and that we use that and we go forward with that. I think it's sad when somebody sits there and they are neglectful to not just themselves, but to everybody, and they're spreading hate or anger in the wrong way, because anger can be spread in such a powerful way where we can say, no, this is what's right, this is what's good, and let's do it, let's go for it. And I don't know, I like listening to everybody that's just like, I'm on like top of the world right now, where I want to like go out and I want to talk and I want to see people and I want to show people love and be courageous and brave in ways that I've never been brave before. That was just my thoughts. That's what I've been thinking over here in my little corner of the world. I'm gonna go back to mute.
Awesome. Heck yeah. It's crazy because we have being presented with opportunity. I think to be able to look at, think about like how Jesus talks to his disciples. He says, look out at the fields that are ready for harvest. You're talking to like simple people, farmers, right? Like a harvest is a beautiful thing. We're kind of all disconnected what like harvest really means. But like, think about like a time when a harvest meant like they were going to eat well and they were going to have huge celebrations, because in some ways they might even have more food than they knew what to do with when they went for months like scavenging. You know, like a harvest is like a big deal. And so Jesus looked out and says, look at the fields that are white and ready for harvest. And he's looking out, he's pointing out. And if we recall what it was, you know, from what we gather and what we know, like what it was like during Jesus's time, we think oppression is happening now. It is happening now, and I don't mean to belittle it all, but like Jesus saw through the clear lens of the kingdom of heaven, and he didn't get drugged down by the fact that even all of his people were completely under the oppression of the Roman government, the Roman Empire. So like he looks out and he sees what's happening and he says, this is an opportunity. Don't miss it. I want to pray that God would open our hearts up to be able to see all of the opportunities before us in our day, in our life, even when we're alone, like the opportunities of like, oh, I have a chunk of time. I don't need to fill it with nonsense. I can actually fill it with like a conversation quiet with the Lord. Or maybe I need to start like some like meditation like app, or I've been wanting to read through the Psalms, or I've been wanting to write songs, you know, write poetry, read the Proverbs, read through the Gospel, talk to my friend that I haven't talked, you know, all of the things. We have these opportunities with our time. God would help us to recognize the opportunities that are before us, the fields that are white and ready for harvest. Even now as we plant seeds, right? Josh, you grow things, right? Is everything right all at the same time? Boom, all your food's ready. What are you eating now from your garden, Josh? What are you eating?
Berries and cucumbers and carrots.
What's going to be ready next week? That, right? Yum. Going to be ready next week.
Some summer squash is going to start being ready, and hopefully some more green beans.
Yeah. And then like a couple weeks after that, maybe you'll have carrots, and carrots going to come up and they're ready all the time. There's a harvest like ready for us in some ways right now. And also we need to plant seeds. because there's going to be some, like, you don't plant all the same seeds at the same time either. And a good farmer knows how to do that. Anyways, I want to spend a little time in prayer. Why don't we do this? We've done this and together. I'm going to set a timer that we would spend. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm gonna set us up to just kind of lead us into some quiet 3 minutes where we're just quiet. We're just going to listen and be with each other, be with God, and sit in his presence. And after that, my alarm will go off, tell me, and then I'm going to open it up if anybody wants to pray, like, audible prayer, right? And then we'll just go from there. So I encourage you to sit up straight. Sometimes we take a nap with God. Sometimes we just need to, when we're listening, it's like falling in the coffee shop with a friend while he's talking. You know? So,
no snoring allowed.
Right, no snoring. Sit up straight. Most of us would need to close our eyes so we're not distracted. Put your hands together like in prayer, and the symbol of surrender that happens when we put our hands together in prayer. Bow your head slightly. Listen to your heartbeat. You can hear it. It's crazy when we get quiet. You can actually hear and feel your heartbeat. Take in some deep breaths. Breathe in. Breathe in God. He's all around. And breathe out, surrendering. And you can repeat after me. I'm gonna pray this and just kind of quiet whatever to yourself. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. I'm gonna pray the Lord's Prayer, and you can pray it with me, and then if you have something else after that, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God, help us to see the opportunities this week, God, in our everyday, normal life, God, that we'll be listening and watching. And you would breathe faith into our hearts, God, and courage, God, to step out where you want us to step out and take risks for the sake of love. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray that you continue to soften our hearts more and more, Lord, to know you better, deeper, to feel your heartbeat, Lord. Soften our hearts more towards you, Lord, to go deeper with you. And Lord, soften our hearts towards others, Lord, to see mankind with your eyes, God. Everyone, Lord, that you have made, God, with your love and your value, how precious every person is to you, Lord. Thank you, God. Guide and direct us, Lord. Just give us eyes to see, God, what you are doing and what you would have us do, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, I pray for the dryness around, that you shower us with your spirit, with your knowledge, with your love, that for some of us who might be afraid to go out to I'm just seeing rain like in that video again, where people are being showered by God, and it's love, and it's peace, and it's kindness, and it's just all the attributes that he wants us to have, and he's given it to us to use. The thing is, we have to use them. It's a free gift that he's giving us, and we have to use them. And I'm seeing that, and I'm feeling that, and it's not just for us, it's for everybody. I mean, we live in a desert. I mean, maybe a spiritual desert for some of us, whatever, but I pray for a shower. I mean, let it just flow like a tsunami or whatever. Just on everybody listening and people who aren't with us today, just let God shower us with your spirit and show us the people, show us the dry spots in our lives that we need. excuse me. Father God, I have surgery coming up again, so I ask you to look over the doctors on the 7th and on the 24th, and I also ask you to look over my housing situation as I need to move. I'm physically, mentally, and spiritually drained from this place, and I need you to guide my feet and my heart on where you want me to go or if you want me to stay here. So I ask you for guidance in that, Lord. Can I throw something out just for...
Yep.
Okay. There's a song that really helps me. She was an Assemblies of God musician. Her name is Twyla Paris, T-W-I-L-A-P-A-R-I-S. And the song is Cry for the Desert. In the song, it talks about all the dry spots in her walk. And it really, really ministers to me. You guys could listen to that. I mean, I think it might do wonders. And just even if you need something uplifting to listen to.